From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his fifth message in a series of studies in Chapter 11 of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Our focus is on Noah, and the message is called The Faith That Stands Secure in the Judgment. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Losses Overcome. The text is found in Joel, chapter 2, verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. Yes, those wasted years over which we sigh shall be restored to us. God can give us such plentiful grace that we shall crowd into the remainder of our days as much of service as will be some recompense for those years of unregeneracy over which we mourn in humble penitence. The locusts of backsliding, worldliness, lukewarmness, are now viewed by us as a terrible plague. Oh, that they had never come near us! The Lord in mercy has now taken them away, and we are full of zeal to serve Him. Blessed be His name! We can raise such harvests of spiritual graces as shall make our former barrenness to disappear. Through rich grace we can turn to account our bitter experience and use it to warn others. We can become the more rooted in humility, childlike dependence, and penitent spirituality by reason of our former shortcomings. If we are the more watchful, zealous, and tender, we shall gain by our lamentable losses. The wasted years, by a miracle of love, can be restored. Does it seem too great a boon? Let us believe for it and live for it, and we may yet realize it, even as Peter became all the more useful a man after his presumption was cured by his discovered weakness. Lord, aid us by Thy grace.
See you.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, let The Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. third character listed in Hebrews chapter 11 is Noah, the ark builder. The human race of Noah's time had corrupted itself so thoroughly that God determined to destroy all flesh. The Bible testifies, however, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God commanded him to build an ark to save his family and representative animals from the approaching flood, and Noah obeyed, never having seen a drop of rain. Noah's faith was characterized by belief in the gospel, by obedience to the gospel, and by allegiance to it. As Dr. Cairns will show, Noah's faith perceived the glory of God. He had an insight into the true nature of God. Then Noah's faith received the graces of God. He and his family were saved from the destruction that consumed all living things. Now here is Dr. Cairns to bring the next portion of this message called The Faith That Stands Secure in the Judgment.
We can't say we believe the gospel unless we spread it abroad. Allegiance demands that we stand to get that gospel proclaimed. It doesn't matter if one person or 1 million persons come to Christ through our preaching. That's not our responsibility. That's up to God to save. I can't save anybody. I can't cause conviction in anybody. But I can seek to proclaim the gospel. I can stand in allegiance to the truth of the gospel. And whatever results the Lord gives, let him give those results. But we are called to preach. We're called to get moving if we believe the gospel. So the first thing that this secure faith does is it believes the gospel of God. Second thing is that this faith perceives the glory of God. We have in Hebrews 11:7 the phrase, moved with fear. Moved with fear. What does that mean? You may conclude that that means that Noah, for all his faith, yet trembled that he might perish. You may conclude that Noah thought that perhaps the ark might fail him, and might yet sink beneath the billows. Again, I don't know that Noah never had such a trembling thought, but that's not the meaning of the text here, moved with fear. Just think for a minute. Noah met with God, and God gave him such a display of his own righteous, holy character and of his hatred of sin and of coming judgment that Noah could see the whole world going down to hell. Noah, as no other man alive, Noah had that tremendous reality of the holiness, the judgment, the justice, the righteousness, the purity, the majesty of God revealed to him, and it overwhelmed him. When it says he was moved with fear, it is a godly fear. It is a reaction to the glory of God. I want to tell you that faith starts by believing the gospel. But a faith that believes the gospel always progresses to perceive the glory of God. It is a faith that begins, certainly not to understand, for no man can comprehend God. But it is a faith that begins to catch a sight of the very nature of God. Now this leads you to think of something that is beneficial to believers who struggle with these things, and it's also, I think, beneficial in that it shows you the nature of real faith. Real faith saves the soul in the sense that it lays hold of the Savior of the soul.
But the strange thing is this. Real faith never ends up by making the salvation of the soul its greatest concern. That's its next concern.
Real faith comes to make the glory of God its greatest concern. Real faith wants to say, I want to know Him. Yes, I want to know I'm saved. But that will be as the result. But first and foremost, I want to know Him. That's what Paul said. That I might know Him.
True faith starts off as a simple belief of the gospel. But it progresses to a perceiving of the glory of God. Faith will come to the Scriptures. Faith will spend time alone in the secret place. Not just, though obviously this will come into our study and our praying, not just to appropriate the blessings of God to ourselves, but faith will seek out the person of the Lord. Faith will want a clearer discovery than ever of the nature of God. Faith will want to have unveiled the beauty of the Savior. Faith will cry with Moses, O Lord, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Faith cannot simply say, well, I'm saved. That's it. No, no. Faith says, I'm saved, but I'm saved by God. Therefore, I must perceive the glory of the God who has saved me. Faith, therefore, in Scripture, will behold His holiness. I think that what's wrong with Christendom, and what certainly what's wrong with our own Bible-believing churches, what's wrong with ourselves, we don't need to go outside the walls, what's wrong with us can be traced back to an inadequate knowledge of God, an inadequate knowledge of the holiness of God. You can't tell me that people whose faith perceives the holiness of God and keeps it before them will live in sin. You can't tell me that those people would be twisted liars and thieves, masquerading under the cloak of righteousness and faith. You can't tell me that people who can perceive the holiness of God, His hatred of sin, His power, His wrath, His free love and His grace, His provision in Christ, you can't tell me those people will do anything else but seek to live in the beauty of holiness. Faith believes the gospel, but faith proceeds to perceive the glory of God. And then the final thing that it does, and very quickly, we get it at the end of our text, faith receives the grace of God. He built an ark to the saving of his house. That may mean that he did it with the purpose of saving his house. He used a very good sense, saving his family. It should be the purpose of every parent to see their family saved. It should be the purpose of every believer in his own adherence to Christ, so to know the grace of God that he sees the family brought in, and not one left behind. Noah was both, at the same time, the world's most unsuccessful preacher and the world's most successful preacher. According to the people who live and die today by big statistics, Noah was a failure. To preach 120 years for 8 souls out of over a billion, he was a failure. But was he? You think of the great preachers. For all their greatness, many of them lost their children. We think with joy of the million souls who are reputed to have hit the sawdust trail through the ministry of the great Billy Sunday. But we think with sadness of his own children living to repudiate the same gospel and deny the grace of God. We think of the great D.L. Moody, and yet we wonder over the awful aberrations of his son. Noah didn't see the millions, but as a father he was perfectly successful, for every one of his children got into the ark. That was his purpose. But I think the words mean simply that he built an ark with the result that his house was saved, and he became the heir of the righteousness of faith. Very simply, sum it up. Noah's faith was the means of his own justification. That's the meaning of the heir of the righteousness of faith. What it means is, righteousness is by faith. Noah had faith, and Noah was accounted righteous. Noah, by faith, entered in to acceptance with God. Secondly, it's saying, Noah's faith obtained a promise of great future benefits that would flow from his acceptance with God, because he became the heir of the righteousness. The idea of being an heir is not only of now that you enter into a certain relationship, but that there are future benefits that flow from that relationship. Noah, by faith, entered into all the future fullness of redemption. That's what faith does. When it receives the grace of God, it receives acceptance with God. You're not going to be accepted by God by what you do. You say, well, I know that. I'm not such a fool you need to tell me that. But do you know it? The devil comes along to you. Your own flesh comes along to you. Well, if I could only do better, God would love me more. God would accept me more. And the more you believe that sort of nonsense, the more you get into the awful rigmarole of working to make God accept you, instead of working because he has accepted you. So what is the difference? It's the difference between light and darkness. There's the difference between liberty and slavery. So many Christians who ought to be living as God's free men have actually bound themselves about with such slavery that they've lost the joy of the Lord. Listen, faith in Jesus Christ receives acceptance with God and the merits of Christ, and you don't need anything else. Faith in Jesus Christ will give you God's assurance of every future benefit and blessing that Christ purchased at Calvary with the shedding of his blood. Acceptance with God means that you receive everything. Everything that Christ purchased. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If you've got Christ, you'll not lack anything else.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening. and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.